And now to the devastating opioid crisis in Wisconsin and efforts to hear firsthand from people in recovery, substance abuse professionals, and families touched by this epidemic. The Department of Health Services, DHS, held a dozen listening sessions attended by more than 500 people, sent out a survey receiving nearly 900 comments. Where should millions of dollars be directed to from the state's opioid settlement? What do you want top decision makers to know about the destruction caused by highly addictive painkillers? 800-642-1234. Paul Krupski is Director of Opioid Initiatives for DHS. Paul, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. So, you know, Wisconsin's set to receive $400 million in funding from the settlement of the multi-state lawsuit against four pharmaceutical companies. You break it down as 70% of the settlement goes to county and local governments, 30% to DHS. How should DHS spend its portion of the settlement money?
Yeah, so as you mentioned up front, you know, we really wanted to make sure that we were hearing from all the partners and stakeholders around the state that, you know, we couldn't do this work without really hear from them and make sure that we're clear on understanding where the gaps and the needs are, where those still exist. And then also just from anybody and everyone in Wisconsin. Almost everybody, unfortunately, across this nation has been impacted by the opioid epidemic one way or another, whether directly through a family member who has struggled with opioid use, or unfortunately, many have known someone who has unfortunately overdosed and lost their life to this. So you mentioned we got really great feedback, and I think the main point that I'd like to share is, for myself, it was very reaffirming. What we heard from individuals was that the work that we've been doing and the investments we've been making over close to the last decade in the state is what we need to continue doing. And that's investing throughout the continuum of care. So in the areas of prevention, harm reduction, treatment, and recovery. And so with these funds, I think what, you know, based off of what we heard and also just the amount, the large amounts of data that we look at and review here at the Department of Health Services, we'll look to really expand or enhance a lot of those types of projects or strategies that we've already been doing. But there's definitely some opportunities to grow and invest in some newer innovative strategies that we haven't been able to up to this point.
And I want to look at what those strategies and what you want to grow into, but how much do the listening sessions and the survey inform what DHS will do with the opioid settlement money?
Very much so. That was definitely our first step to make sure, like I said, that we're hearing from the people of Wisconsin. And we want to make sure that the strategies that we're investing in and the work that we're doing reflects what we're hearing. And as I mentioned, I think that what we heard was very reaffirming, because it kind of solidified that what we have been doing over the last decade is really what is needed. So as you look at this additional funding that's coming in, let's continue to stay the course. Let's continue to make those investments across the state so that we're helping our communities and ultimately saving lives in Wisconsin.
Paul Krupski with us. We're going to get him on a better line here, leads the opioids initiative at DHS. Meanwhile, do you work at a treatment center for opioid addiction? What's staffing like at your center? How do you think opioid settlement funds should be used? Where are the gaps for affected families and people fighting addiction? Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute with Paul Krupski here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. According to the DHS Drug Overdose Deaths Dashboard, in 2020, more than 80% of all drug deaths contained opioids like meth, like heroin, cocaine. And as litigation comes to a close, Wisconsin is expected to receive funding from four settlements from opioid makers and distributors. And the state has been seeking input on where to boost resources to address this crisis. We're talking with the head of the opioid initiatives for DHS. Paul Krupski stays with us. Paul, you know, as you looked at these hundreds upon hundreds of comments, what were some of the common themes that came out of them?
So there definitely were themes that stuck out from the listening sessions. I think the top ones I can mention are, we definitely heard a lot about prevention, the need to really enhance and invest more in the area of prevention. A lot of people specifically mentioned that prevention they felt was lacking in our schools, in the K-12 setting. And so definitely wanting to look at this future funding we receive, allocate some of that, work with our school districts and improve increase the amount of substance use prevention that's taking part in the schools. I think the second thing was in the area of harm reduction. Our department has done a lot of work over the last 5 years or so to increase the availability of Narcan around the state. And we definitely heard from a lot of people that they're aware of that. They've taken advantage of that, and they actually now have Narcan in their hands so that they can save someone's life if they're around them when they're experiencing an overdose. So we want to expand that. But then also recently, just about 3 or 4 weeks ago, Governor Evers signed legislation decriminalizing fentanyl test strips in our state. And as you just mentioned, overdose deaths, right now it doesn't matter the substance, the majority of them are containing opioids, which is primarily fentanyl. So if we can get fentanyl test strips into the hands of individuals who are using substances, there's a better opportunity to save their lives as well by making them aware that fentanyl is present in the substance that they're about to use. We definitely heard a call for more treatment. You know, nationally, there is still a treatment need and gap that exists, and that is the case here in Wisconsin as well. We have done an awful lot in this space over the last decade, but there are still areas of our state that are lacking treatment or certain forms of treatment. And even our more urban areas of the state, while they might have more providers and more treatment available, it doesn't mean that they can still meet the needs. So there's some capacity lacking there.
Oh, so this is not like a rural urban issue?
No, it is not. No, it is not. You know, the need for treatment exists no matter the setting.
Mm-hmm.
It just looks a little bit different. Like I mentioned, in those rural settings, it's the fact that there might not be treatment available. It's a lack of providers or services. But in the urban setting, it's more about not about not having providers, but being able to meet the capacity that is there for treatment.
I want to jump in, before you go to the next one, I want to jump in and go back a couple here to Narcan, naloxone, the drug used to reverse an opioid overdose. And I noticed that earlier this year, there was a study showing a major shortage of naloxone in nearly every state. And the researchers in the Lancet Public Health Journal, they asked a really important question, which is how much naloxone do states need to turn the tide on the ever-growing opioid overdose epidemic? And I really want to hear your response to that question and whether you see that there is a shortage in Wisconsin.
Yes, earlier, or I should say late last year was when we were seeing a shortage. So we're the primary manufacturer who was just had some issues and wasn't able to manufacture as much as they typically do, which was leading to the shortage. Here in Wisconsin, through our primary program, which is our Narcan Direct program, where we contract and partner with over 100 providers statewide, we did not run into an issue where we were falling short. So we are thankful for that. To answer your question, though, I don't think that there is an amount that we can put. It's just like there isn't, when people ask, how much money do we need to end the opioid epidemic? I don't think there's an answer to that. And specifically to Narcan, what we want to focus on is getting it in the hands of as many people as possible who feel like they need it. So whether that's somebody who is prescribed an opioid, whether that is a friend, a family, a spouse, a loved one of somebody who's struggling with opioids right now, or whether that is somebody who's actively using opioids themselves. It's all about saving lives. And as you mentioned, Narcan is a unique drug that can reverse an opioid overdose and save lives. And so it's just about getting it into the hands of as many people that need it.
Well, getting it into the hands as many people who need it, as you say, you know, pharmacists can sell it without a prescription. Should everyone battling opioid addiction and their friends and family have this drug always on hand?
We would definitely encourage that. I work in downtown Madison, and I could be walking to the bus or to my car on any given day, and there's a chance that I might see someone who's experiencing an overdose. So having Narcan on hand, you never know when you might need it. And individuals who specifically have that loved one who is struggling with addiction and specifically opioids, we would definitely encourage them to have it on hand. And as you mentioned, there's a lot of different ways you can access it. You can get it through a pharmacy for free if they are signed on to our statewide standing order. We have our Narcan Direct program, which if you go onto the DHS website, you can find a partner near you where you can access Narcan for free. You'll get trained, and at the end of the training, you'll be able to, you'll be given a 2-dose kit.
Paul Krupski with us, Director of Opioid Initiatives for Wisconsin Department of Health Services, DHS, and discussing where to go with the survey results, with opioid settlement money coming into Wisconsin, 800-642-1234. Saul is with us from Stevens Point. Hi, Saul.
Hello. Just curious to know whether or how much you're supporting buprenorphine therapy as one of the routes to treating addiction.
Thank you, Saul.
Yeah, so the department's, when we look at medication-assisted treatment, the department's goal is to make sure that anyone who needs medication-assisted treatment has access to all three forms of MAT. And so the three forms are methadone, buprenorphine, as the caller just mentioned, or naltrexone. And this is really important, not just so they have access to the therapy, but so the treatment, but so they have access to the appropriate level of treatment or the appropriate level of care that they need. Any treatment is better than none, obviously, but if the individual's diagnosis really calls for methadone, we want to make sure that individual has that option in the area, in the community that they are, that they live in. So what the department's goal is to make sure that we have access to all three forms of MAT statewide. And that's what we're working towards.
And along those lines, Paul, earlier this year, some federal lawmakers introduced legislation that would ease rules around the distribution of methadone, the replacement narcotic used to treat opioid addiction. We talked with Jay Ford, who is an assistant professor at the School of Pharmacy at UW-Madison, about the push to expand methadone availability.
I think the more we can do to increase access to medications for opioid use disorders that people need, the better. I mean, there are just too many barriers that exist in the systems, to allow people to easily access the medications. And so there are opportunities to improve that. And I think the more that we embrace and try these new ideas, the better off we are in terms of trying to address the ongoing opioid epidemic.
How do you feel about that sentiment, Paul?
I agree 100%. I actually know Jay well, and we've partnered with him on some things, and that is absolutely what, as I mentioned, what our goal is at the department and what we're working towards. And you mentioned some of the federal rule changes over the past year. Definitely supportive of that because, as Jay said, that makes it easier for us, less barriers to remove in order to expand access to all three forms of medication-assisted treatment for opioid use disorder.
And along those lines, criminalization. In 2020, there were more than 20,000 arrests related to drug crimes here in Wisconsin. What should the state do or not do about decriminalizing opioid use?
Well, I think that that's, a kind of separate question that, needs to be considered by obviously our Department of Justice and obviously the criminal justice system. But I do know that there was just some legislation that was passed earlier in March that did look at changing the penalty structure for specifically fentanyl. And that was because, again, as we've talked about, fentanyl has really been the driving factor of overdoses and deaths nationally and in our state going back 5 or 6 years now. And so we want to discourage, obviously, the manufacturing and the distribution of fentanyl. But I do think that when we're looking at, you know, the users, it's really important that somebody who has an opioid use disorder diagnosis is getting the treatment and the care that they need. And we need to meet those individuals where they're at. We need to look at making sure that they have access to all the treatment and the care services that they need, and focus on the person, you know, the person themselves.
And Paul, in our last moments together, and as settlement checks start to come into Wisconsin, what are your next steps? Where do you go from here?
Well, so right now we're still kind of in a waiting period. While we have an idea of, from these first two settlements, how much Wisconsin will be receiving, we still don't exactly know the dates that we will be receiving initial payments, and we don't know what the payment schedule will be. The one settlement with the three major pharmaceutical distributors will be paid out over 18 years, and the settlement with Johnson & Johnson will be paid out over 9 years. So we still have to learn how much we're getting and when we're getting it, and like I said, what that structure will be, and we'll kind of have to wait to go for there from there.
Paul, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Paul Krupski is Director of Opioid Initiatives for the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Coming up, we talk with a Princeton University researcher who's looking for common threads among deaths in working-class white Americans. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.